Today is the 27th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is great to be here with you today. And it is great to have a place to be together today. And it's wonderful that we can gather and take the next step forward together in our week and month and year and the Bible. And our steps have led us to where we are, both in the Bible and in our lives. But as it relates to the steps that we've taken in the Bible together, we have reached our way into the book of Judges now, from Genesis to Judges. And we are learning about the judges of Israel. And in particular, we are learning about the judge Gideon. And we began Gideon's story yesterday, and we will continue today. Judges chapter 7, verse 1 through 8, verse 17. Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the troops who were with him got up early and camped beside the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them below the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many troops for me to hand the Midianites over to them, or else Israel might elevate themselves over me and say, 'I saved myself.' Now announce to the troops, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling may turn back and leave Mount Gilead.'" So 22,000 of the troops turned back, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many troops. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. If I say to you, 'This one can go with you,' he can go. But if I say about anyone, 'This one cannot go with you,' he cannot go." So he brought the troops down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Separate everyone who laps water with his tongue like a dog. Do the same with everyone who kneels to drink." The number of those who lapped their hands to their mouths was 300 men, and all the rest of the troops knelt to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, "I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and hand the Midianites over to you, but everyone else is to go home." So Gideon sent all the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 troops who took the provisions and their ram's horns. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That night, the Lord said to him, "Get up and attack the camp, for I have handed it over to you. But if you are afraid to attack the camp, go down with Purah, your servant. Listen to what they say, and then you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the troops who were in the camp. Now the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the people of the east had settled down in the valley like a swarm of locusts, and their camels were as innumerable as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon arrived, there was a man telling his friend about a dream. He said, "Listen, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp, struck a tent, and it fell. The loaf turned the tent upside down so that it collapsed." His friend answered, "This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has handed the entire Midianite camp over to him." When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to Israel's camp and said, "Get up, for the Lord has handed the Midianite camp over to you." Then he divided the 300 men into three companies and gave each of the men a ram's horn in one hand and an empty pitcher with a torch inside in the other hand. "Watch me," he said to them, "and do what I do. When I come to the outpost of the camp, do as I do. When I and everyone with me blow our ram's horns, you are also to blow your ram's horns all around the camp. Then you will say, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" Gideon and the 100 men who were with him went to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch after the sentries had been stationed. They blew their ram's horns and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The three companies blew their ram's horns and shattered their pitchers. They held their torches in their left hands and their ram's horns to blow in their right hands, and they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each Israelite took his position around the camp, and the entire Midianite army began to run, and they cried out as they fled. When Gideon's men blew their 300 ram's horns, the Lord caused the men in the whole army to turn on each other with their swords. They fled to Acacia House in the direction of Zerera, as far as the border of Abel-Mehalah, near Tabath. Then the men of Israel were called from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim with this message: "Come down to intercept the Midianites and take control of the watercourses ahead of them as far as Bet-Bara and the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took control of the watercourses as far as Bet-Bara and the Jordan. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two princes of Midian. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb, while they were pursuing the Midianites. They brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. The men of Ephraim said to him, "Why have you done this to us, not calling us when you went to fight against the Midianites?" And they argued with him violently. So he said to them, "What have I done now compared to you? Is not the gleaning of Ephraim better than the grape harvest of Abiezer? God handed over to you Oreb and Zeb, the two princes of Midian. What was I able to do compared to you?" When he said this, their anger against him subsided. Gideon and the 300 men came to the Jordan and crossed it. They were exhausted, but still in pursuit. He said to the men of Succoth, "Please give some loaves of bread to the troops under my command, because they are exhausted, for I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." But the princes of Succoth asked, "Are Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hands, that we should give bread to your army?" Gideon replied, "Very well. When the Lord has handed Zeba and Zalmunna over to me, I will tear your flesh with thorns and briars from the wilderness." He went from there to Penuel and asked the same thing from them. The men of Penuel answered just as the men of Succoth had answered. He also told the men of Penuel, "When I return safely, I will tear down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and with them was their army of about 15,000 men, who were all those left of the entire army of the people of the east. Those who had been killed were 120,000 armed men. Gideon traveled on the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbeha and attacked their army while the army felt secure. Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued them. He captured these two kings of Midian and routed the entire army. Gideon, son of Joash, returned from the battle by the ascent of Pharez. He captured a youth from the men of Succoth and interrogated him. The youth wrote down for him the names of the 77 leaders and elders of Succoth. Then he went to the men of Succoth and said, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna. You taunted me about them, saying, 'Are Zeba and Zalmunna now in your power that we should give bread to your exhausted men?'" So he took the elders of the city, and he took some thorns and briars from the wilderness, and he disciplined the men of Succoth with them. He also tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. Luke 23:13-43. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You have brought me this man as one who misleads the people, but in fact, after examining him in your presence, I have found no grounds to charge this man with those things you accuse him of. Neither has Herod, because he sent him back to us. Clearly, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him." And they all cried out together, "Take this man away! Release Barabbas to us!" He had been thrown into prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What has this man done wrong? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him." But they kept up the pressure, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and their voices won out. So Pilate decided to grant their demand and released the one they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for rebellion and murder. But he handed Jesus over to their will. As they led him away, they seized Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and laid the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Look, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the women without children, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' And they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders were scoffing, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription was above him, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly, because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Psalm 97 and 98. The Majestic King. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coasts and islands be glad. Clouds and total darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. All the peoples see his glory. All who serve carved images, those who boast in worthless idols, will be put to shame. All the gods must worship him. Zion hears and is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the Most High over the whole earth. You are exalted above all the gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He protects the lives of his faithful ones. He rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. Proverbs 14, 7 and 8. Stay away from a foolish person. You will gain no knowledge from his speech. The sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them. Okay, so in the book of Judges today, and in the story of Gideon, we begin to see just how counterintuitive this story is. Gideon had summoned the people together to go to battle against Midian, and 32,000 people came. And maybe that was enough to give a good fight. I mean, the way that the Bible describes the Midianites, they're like a plague of locusts all over the valley floor. So maybe 32,000 is formidable enough, but it was too many. It was too many for God. So Gideon was told to tell everybody, like, look, if you're afraid of this battle that's about to happen, then go home. And 22,000 people left. That's a third of the people. And so Gideon's left with this army of 10,000 people. And now that's not really, I mean, if it was ever fair to begin with, it's not now. But 10,000 was still too many for the plan that the Lord was leading Gideon into. And we watched that army dwindle down to 300 people against a plague, a horde of people. And as we saw the story unfold, we found out that really, to get things going, nobody did a bunch of fighting. The 300 people came and positioned themselves around the camp, and at the command, they made a bunch of noise and shined their torches and shouted and screamed, and it seemed like the camp was surrounded. And so the enemy army wakes up, gets up, and they just start attacking. They feel like they're being attacked, like they're being overrun by the armies of Gideon, the armies of the Lord, when there's only 300 people making a bunch of noise. But they don't know that, and so they just start swinging their swords, and they annihilate each other. And it's at this point that the other tribes are invited to come into pursuit. Once again, 300 people against this horde. They were in an impossible situation. And once again, we saw God do the work for them. And that broke the bonds of the Midianites over the Israelites, freed them from oppression, and gave them freedom again. God simply isn't afraid of impossible-looking situations, because nothing is impossible with the Lord. And if we're talking about impossible situations, then we flip over into the Gospel of Luke, and we are at the portion in the Passion narrative where Jesus is condemned to be executed by crucifixion, and then he is crucified. Jesus hanging there on this cross between heaven and earth in what looks like absolute and complete defeat. When counterintuitively, he is saving the world. God's wisdom confounds the wisdom of man. It's often counterintuitive to the ways of men. In fact, it's often backward to the ways of men, which should let the ways of men know that they are bad. Those ways are backward. If we're not following in the ways of the Lord, then we're going in the wrong direction. And the ways of the Lord typically invite us to trust him through faith beyond what we can control. So Father, once again, we invite you into that, and we invite Holy Spirit that you would come and lead us into all truth. This is a very regular request because it is always necessary. And even in our readings today, the faith necessary in Gideon's story and the trust necessary in the Passion story, we see counterintuitive ways and we see absolute faith and trust and utter dependence on you. That is what was modeled for us in what we read today. May we remember it as we go through this day and live it out in our own lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is our website. And that's where you find out what's going on around here. Alternatively, you can download the Daily Audio Bible app, and you can find that free from whatever app store works with your device and put it all in the palm of your hand. And so check that out. Check out the different sections. Check out the community section. This is where to get connected on social media. This is the home of the prayer wall, where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a number of categories there, ranging from the Daily Audio Bible journal and things to write with, all the way to Wind Farm coffee that can be shipped to you fresh, roasted, right to your door. And so, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop while you're checking things out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. We're a community because we show up every day. We're a community because we're in this together. And so thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or there are a number of numbers that you can call. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, everybody. It's Brother Stuart in Phoenix, Arizona. It is about 7:15 p.m. on a balmy night. And I just thought I'd call you all to say God bless you for everything that you do, for all the prayers that you share, for all the hopes and dreams that you guys have, and for all the positive feedback you give each other. You have been a blessing. You've been a hope and an inspiration for my time that I was incarcerated. I will be going to a possible job tomorrow. Please pray that we have successes so that I can start getting back on my feet. Once again, I thank you all for your prayers, and I will keep you in mind. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Gia from Frederick, Maryland. I'm calling to request prayer. January of 2022, I had a life-changing event. I had multiple strokes and had an infection, not sure what kind, but it caused me to go sepsis, which started attacking all my major organs. And the long-term effect of some of those attacks was I am now currently 100% blind, and I had to get open heart surgery. The rest of my organs was able to heal by the grace of God. But also I have knee pain, hip pain, lower back pain, as well as shoulder pain. And I'm just praying, I'm just calling a request prayer for restoration of my body, Father God, and that my vision will be restored as well as he restored the rest of my organs, Father God. I went to the doctors yesterday. They really don't think it's any hope, but they didn't think it was hope for me, period, to make it through. They kept telling my family to come up and make me comfortable, and, you know, I wasn't going to make it. So I feel like, you know, miracles can happen, but I've definitely been feeling spiritually attacked lately. Had a lot going on. My daughter threatened suicide. My son, who is 20 and been in prison since he was 16, I'm praying for him to get closer to the Lord, to turn his life to the Lord, and that he also is on suicide watch at the prison. I'm just praying for restoration of my body, my soul, and my spirit, and my kids as well.
Hello, DAB family. Pastor Steve here from Southwest Ohio. Just wanted to say I praise the Lord that he is so good, and that Jesus has saved me and brought me out of a life of sin, and I have life eternal with him. Every day is an extreme blessing, and I give him glory and praise for that. I want to lift up everyone who is in need, and there are many that are on this prayer line that every day I listen, and my heart is grieved because of such heaviness, but yet God's got it. He certainly lifted me out of many, many things, and he will do the same for you. Keep looking up. Praise him regardless of the situation and give him the glory, for he deserves it. And truly, let the world see the light that shines in you for his glory and purpose, that others would be drawn to him for his glory in and through you, whether word or through deed. Just appreciate all of you. Thank you for your prayers for me and my family, and for Brother Brian and his family. Thank you for this ministry. Give God praise. And thank you, and have a blessed and joyous day. Bye-bye.
I just wanted to call in and pray for Winter. This is Beloved in Texas. Oh, Winter. I just want to tell you, I know I don't know you, but I want to tell you how insanely impressed and proud I am of you and your mother. A, for your mother recognizing that in you and bringing it to your attention. And I mean, just astoundingly proud of you for recognizing that there might be merit to her observations and actually stepping back objectively and identifying it. So, now I don't want you to be taking on anything that's not true. You know, we aren't going to take on everything that everybody says about us. But if you genuinely have reflected and you see truth to it, I encourage you to learn what you can about being a codependent person. It's hard to fight an enemy that is invisible. You now have a name for it, for that feeling or those things that you do and you aren't sure why. You have a name for it now. You can call it out by name and tell it in Jesus' name, go. Doesn't mean that it's not going to come back. You might have to do that every 5 seconds for the next 5 days. But when you start to recognize those codependent tendencies, you can now identify them and you can name them. There's power in that, girl.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray and comment on Rockhound from Georgia, who now is in California taking care of her mom, who's 100 years old. My goodness, what a miracle. She's lived 100 years, praise God. And the wisdom that you shared, that your mother shared with you about her husband, late husband, wanting her to sit with her in the back porch and her seemingly, but her having something to do, being busy and not really taking the time to sit with him. And now her wondering, has she chosen? She didn't choose wisely because these times can't come back. And that really hit me so hard, especially as I reflected in Mary and Martha, because I am in many ways Martha sometimes. I get so busy. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm running around as a full-time employee. I have a social media channels that I'm trying to keep up with. And I also mentor women who have had babies out of wedlock. So it's a lot. And because of that, sometimes I miss the most important moments. And so as I reflect on this, I want to pray for Rockhound and her mother. Dear Jesus, I thank you for Rockhound and her mother and the life and the wisdom. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that she has to care for her mother. We pray that her mother may make a full recovery in Jesus' name. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, you would continue to guide this relationship and these for however long that Rockhound is supposed to remain with her mother. We thank you, Lord, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.